It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I am not what you might consider an AI hater. I think if you look deeply at it, there's a lot to appreciate about the change it will do for the world. However, it's a threat, and it's also easy to make fun of when you see things like this from Twitter on the Connor Hellebuck wants trade to Buffalo Sabres amid Jets talks item under today's news. Buffalo GM Kevin Adams seeks goalie stability. Oh, you need people too, right? We need Paul. Paul's here for it. I mean, Paul has it. You have a tough enough time with actual people, mostly actual real people on Twitter, not to, you know, get as far afield as the AI stuff, Paul. I mean, I don't want to make things more complicated for you.
Yeah, you know me well enough. I'm probably never going to really get into AI. That's just not my thing, especially when that what you just said happens. I mean, yes, Kevin Adams reportedly is now a member of the Boston Bruins organization. But,
yes.
Yeah, so I'm just much, much more careful now. You know, what I read, is it true, is it not? Especially on Facebook, a lot of that stuff is not true, a lot of it.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, because what I do is Facebook is for friends, like I went to school with. It's fun to get in, talking to people I went to high school with and stuff. I don't have any listeners or viewers on Facebook, and then Twitter is for viewers and radio people. So that's the way I usually split it.
The line you're drawing, very well.
Yes.
Well, we'll get to Krebs and whatever else, but it's been a couple of weeks since you and I have spoken, mm-hmm. and I'm building on the premise again still that the Sabres kind of want Connor Hellebuck. Here we are, July 13th, and there is, whether this is from AI or not, I don't think it entirely is, more speculation about it. And I just feel, Paul, that the Sabres might be trying to wait the Jets out, that the goalie wants to be moved, and the Jets are trying to do the best they can, and it's a poker game between the two teams, if not other teams as well. How do you see it?
Well, there's no question in my mind that Jarmo Kekalainen is not going to pay the price that needs to be paid right now to do it, if he wanted to do it today. If that stays the price, I don't feel it'll be done. And then you have other things that fall into it. Is Winnipeg on Lukanen's new no trade, which kicked in on July 1st? We don't know. You would think he would be part of the trade if, you know, they got Hellebuck. Norris also was in that situation. He had one kick in on July 1st also. So, yeah, I'm very confident in saying the price of Hellebuck today will not be paid by the Buffalo Sabres. And he has gone on his out of his way twice now, for whatever his reasons might be, saying that it's a pretty good chance they're going with the three goalies they went with last year. He was happy with them. Really, if you look at, save percentage, the Buffalo Sabres, I believe they were third in the league, if I'm not mistaken, second or third. I believe it was third in the league in save percentage as a group with the three of them. That's not too bad. You know, and they went on a heater from December 9th on, basically till the end of the season, where Lukanen's save percentage went on top of the league for a lot of that time. So it's not – and you look at the two goalies, Lukanen was better than Hellebuck last year. But then you got to say to yourself, was this just a one-year thing for Hellebuck? Did he just have a bad year? You know, and it's a one-off, and he'll be back to being Hellebuck again next year. Who knows? None of us know that. None of us can predict that. But I think you're taking an awfully big chance getting a goaltender that had a bad year last year, who in the last 3 years of the playoffs is, let me see if I can remember this, 8-15, I believe, somewhere in there. I think I might be a game or two off, but right there. And goals against almost 4 and a save percentage, I believe, under .870 in the playoffs. So, and one of those years, you won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
Again, now, there are examples of guys who did not perform in the playoffs and then all of a sudden did and won Stanley Cups. One just left the Florida Panthers and is now the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender. He never had any success in the playoffs, and then he did. These are all questions none of us know. Jarmo Kekalainen doesn't know, you know, if he can all of a sudden become a playoff goaltender, if last year was just an outlier and he'll be back to being his old self again next year, or is he slipping? But an $8.5 million bet on your salary cap, to me, is an awfully large price to pay to find out.
Well put. If you were Kekalainen, would you just bail and be like, hey, sorry, guys, this isn't going to work? Would you go that far?
I'm being honest with you. I wouldn't have been in on it to start.
So, yes.
I really don't think goaltending was the Sabres' major problem. At times, I suppose it was. But even in the playoffs, I know both Lukanen and Lyon got pulled, and they both played very, very well through a lot of the playoffs, too. I just disagree with it. That last goal was Lukanen's fault. It dipped on him. And the shooter said so. The puck went up on end. That made it a flutter puck, and the puck dipped. You can see it dip under his glove. I do not blame him at all for that glove.
Paul, you were a hockey player. Doesn't it make you want to ask yourself, shouldn't all shooters wait until the puck turns on end before shooting?
Isn't that better? It is better. It does work because the puck will do goofy things for you. No question about that. It definitely will do goofy things for you when that happens. Now, you can't really get it to happen. It kind of has to happen naturally for you, for the puck to stand up on end like that. But it's called a flutter puck, and it's a very difficult play for a goaltender. And you can see his glove was right where the puck was going to go, and then it wasn't as the puck dipped. So, yeah, do I blame him for the goal that's scored from the red line? Yes. And I seen Dominik Hasek get scored on from the red line. Not trying to tell you Lukanen is Dominik Hasek in any way, shape, or form, but I've seen the best there are get scored on from the red line. It happens. It's the only time I've ever seen him get scored on from the red line. It just happened, and you move on.
I think Lukanen, as I said earlier, is a really pivotal piece of this if there is a negotiation between the teams, because the Sabres can't really trade for Connor Hellebuyck without moving Lukanen. Like, they just won't need him anymore, and they need cap room if they were to do this. Would he be a player as wild and wacky as goaltending performance is in the league? We've learned that lesson. Is he somebody that if you're Winnipeg, you could sell? Like, this is the Sabres and Hasek a little bit. There are other examples mm-hmm. where you're trading your franchise piece because you just don't think you can really make it work anymore. Team results, player needs. Is Lukanen somebody that if you're Winnipeg, you could sell?
Well, Lukanen and Skinner, they're your goaltenders. They already have one. They would get the other.
And Skinner's tough.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a tough
there are
sell
times
for a fan
he's
base.
And there's times he's really good. And there are times he's really not. You know, and right now, with two extra guys on the roster, I have the Sabres at a little over $4.2 million in salary cap, which means they would have to double that if they were going to make this trade.
Yep.
Lukanen would open up 4.7. So that would have 8.9. Just Lukanen taking off would open up enough room to do it if you did nothing else. So, and again, is Winnipeg on Lukanen's no trade? He doesn't have that many clubs that it's on his no trade. But it just kicked in on July 1st. And if Kekalainen really, really wanted to do this deal and Lukanen was going to be part of it, he knows if Winnipeg is on that list or not. And he knows that as of July 1st, it will make it, you're going to have to get his permission if you want to make the trade. So, you know, it seems like from a Sabres standpoint, it's kind of dead. But I think maybe part of that reason is because the price has not come down, and in order for it to be rekindled, the price is going to have to come down.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Well, one other possible leverage piece in this negotiation, again, if there is one, is adding to the Sabres, really, I mean, to say, put it mildly, depth at forward, is the settlement with Peyton Krebs today. 4 years at $4.5 million. That's a pretty healthy number. Do the Sabres have, can you ever have one too many anythings? Like, are they at a point at forward where if they want to deal with Winnipeg, that would have to be where they turn? And might they think that whether it's goaltending or even defense, probably not defense, they're pretty well loaded, is it maybe optimal if they can pull off something they like to move a forward?
They have five full lines right now. With 23 players, you're going to have the extra goalie, the extra defenseman, and probably one extra forward. So you're looking at getting rid of two. You can take the easy way out. Now, you're going to have a fan revolt if you do, but Oslin and Hellenius do not charge you waivers. They can both go down and you until there's an injury or something like that. Then Kozak's your extra forward or Danforth, and you're ready to go. That's not what I would do, but they could do that without a problem, and then they would be down to their 23 players. And what kind of injuries are you going to get at training camp? I mean, it would be shocking if in the first game these same guys are all healthy that we're talking about right now. So, you know, what kind of injuries are going to happen in training camp? Are you going to get two injuries where, you know, you got two guys on the IR, you know, to start the year? That's what you need, is two guys on the IR. Now, you know, are they still looking at a Kane acquisition to help the power play? That would be why you would do that. A guy with 2 goals and 17 assists and 19 points on the power play. And then you just ask yourself, would you rather have Quinn or would you rather have Kane in your top nine, so to speak?
Easy call.
Yeah, it is for me.
It is for me, Quinn.
Quinn did become a 20-goal scorer this past year. And it seemed like as the season went on, he was starting to find the areas to get in to let that great shot that he has to get it off and get it into the net. So, you know, he has not helped the power play. Nothing has really helped the power play. It was middle of the road for a lot of the year. I think it wound up like 18th or 19th. But when you look at it, Lindy Ruff, in his 8 years he was away from the Sabres, his power play was only good once. You know, so... It's, you know, when we're talking with the Dallas Stars and with New Jersey, I can actually tell you. He was fourth in the league with Dallas once. With New Jersey, he was 13th twice and 28th twice. The other 3 years in Dallas, he was 12th, 20th, and 23rd. This 2 years in Buffalo, he's 24th and 20th. So Lindy Ruff really has never put together since he left the first time, and those numbers I haven't looked up yet and plan on it. But he's basically run a power play as a coach in the last 10 years. It runs around 19%.
That's tough when you have the players they have. I mean, even mm-hmm. Paterka 2 seasons ago, right? I mean, just you have shooters, you have playmakers. I want to think there's, like anything with hockey or anything in life, there's some randomness in it, but it'd be nice to be able to flip that next year. Paul, so a couple things just so that you're up to speed. World Cup, we're down to 4 teams.
We are.
France?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
You thought it was maybe a long left? A lot of teams still left?
That's a good way to put it. A lot. I wouldn't have been able to know how many.
I can't believe this thing isn't. You can't believe it's close to the end. It's a week
exactly.
away.
Exactly.
Sunday is it. Sunday, your long national nightmare, international nightmare is over. So France and Spain tomorrow, England and Argentina Wednesday, both afternoon games, then Sunday is the final.
Any of those upsets to be in the top four?
No, in fact, thank you for asking this. In fact, they are the top four ranked teams in the world, and that has never happened before in the World Cup, where the top four, very chalky, made the semifinals.
So this is a tournament that you could have made some money by going with the favorites, where normally you can't make any money doing that.
This is basically like 4-1 seeds in the NCAAs making the Final Four, pretty much. And also, I think you probably know this one, but I'm not sure. I can't take anything for granted with you. Tonight is Home Run Derby.
I thought that was tomorrow night. So, yeah, you can't take that for granted.
Tomorrow night is the All-Star Game. Tonight
See,
is
I was
Home Run
one
Derby.
Day off. I was thinking they were giving them a day to get there, and then tomorrow's Home Run Derby, and the next day's the All-Star Game. So
no, Philadelphia. I was in the Philadelphia area all weekend, and a lot of hype about this week. You have two Phillies in Home Run Derby, Schwarber and Harper. Mm-hmm. And you have Ben Reich, Paul. What a find for the Yankees.
And I did see a Philly is going to be the starting pitcher, too.
Wheeler? No, he just pitched. Sanchez. Got to be Sanchez, right?
Yeah. Now, what's his name? The young kid from the Yankees is not going to pitch because he just pitched a day or two ago.
Schlittler.
Yeah, he's going to. Oh, I love watching him pitch. Luckily, that game I went to earlier this season where I froze, he was pitching. I loved it.
Where you froze? The temperatures.
Yeah, it was before the Ranger game in April. We flew there, and I got there. Aren't the Yankees playing? Yeah, they're playing the A's. It was 39 degrees. I froze to death, but it was well worth it. And he was pitching, and I really enjoyed. It's almost to me like appointment TV when he pitches. I always like to watch him pitch.
I love that about you. I am the same way. What's better than a great pitcher or a great pitching matchup when you have an evening for baseball? If you're lucky enough to have all the games, find me the best pitcher on the card. Dylan Cease, I believe, will start for the American League, which is ironic yes. because Toronto is in Canada.
And I had all the people around me laughing because Leiter now pitches for the Oakland A's, and the A's were winning rather large. He comes in, it gives up like 5 runs before there's even an out, and I said out loud, I go, that's the best he's pitched for the Yankees ever. And he was pitching for the A's.
It's the Mike Torres line, Paul.
The fans around me just cracked up when I blurted that out. And the Yankees did wind up winning the game thanks to Leiter.
It's the Mike Torres line. When he was a Yankee in 77 and then went to the Red Sox in 78, gave up the Bucky Dent home run, they said how Torres pitched the Yankees to the World Series 2 years in a row.
I had never heard that one.
On that note, we'll keep in touch this week. Thank you.
And quickly, you'll want to know my baseball trip this year is Atlanta.
Oh, interesting. I want to hear about it. When is that soon?
End of August.
Okay, so no. We'll talk about it because I've never been to Atlanta, so I'll wait to hear all about it. Thank
Looking
you, Paul.
Looking forward to it. Yep.
Very good. Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Sal coming up at 4. No Bulldog this week. He is puttering around his apartment, having a great old time. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.